Today's reading is from Matthew 22, reading from verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told his attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Here ends the reading.
Because my days these days are quite long, and there is a lot of time spent sitting and thinking, I've gone back to doing some study, and I've been doing study on the parables in their original, which is to say in the Greek, but I'm also writing up a piece for Masters. I know it's backwards, you don't go Doctors, Masters, but I'm doing that, and I'm decided to do it, write it up in Spanish, not in English. So I'm giving myself a big challenge. One is to work with the original Greek and then to write the pieces in Spanish. So I know that not too long ago, I was here on the day this parable was done, but I'm going to do it, thank you, David, in a slightly another reflection. In West Africa, in the country of Ivory Coast in particular, there is a huge, ginormous cathedral. And when you approach the cathedral, it's like you approach a pearl that suddenly arises out of the squalor that's around it. A squalor which is dark and ugly, and then this beautiful, shining, pearl-like cathedral right in the middle of it. It's called the Basilica of Our Lady of Peace of Yamoussoukro, and it's listed in the Guinness Book of Records now as the largest church in the world. It surpasses the previous record holder, which you all know was St. Peter's Basilica. It has an area of just over 30,000 square metres and a height of just over 160 metres. Now, granted, not everyone, and particularly the Vatican, was thrilled or is thrilled with this basilica. And the people of Ivory Coast wonder why their leader, or dictator, for that's what he is, wants to memorialise himself in such a lavish way. What's with the go big or go home mentality that seems to be in the midst of all this poverty? Because the country itself, the annual per capita income is less than $400. And the basilica cost around $600 million. And you wonder why. Now, the problem is not just the size of the building. It's not just the ornate architecture. It's the very fact that this massive cathedral in this poverty-stricken country, nearly all the time, and particularly on worship days, which are the Sundays, almost remains empty. There are less than 200 people who worship on a Sunday morning. Now, that's more than what we have here this morning. However, unlike here at Morialta, the cathedral seats 18,000. So if you're one of the 200, hello! Come and sit down the front, will you? So I can see you. They're little teeny-weeny people. They have very small people in Ivory Coast, but very teeny-weeny people who are sitting up the back. It's built, but nobody comes. Well, almost nobody anyway. Now, this big empty church in Africa is not exactly the same as the situation that we heard John read to us just a short while ago. But it reminds us of it. In the text, just to repeat some of it, we have a king who hosts a wedding party. And it's not a big church the king is building, but rather what he is building is the mother of all parties. He's throwing the mother of all parties for his son. And a person who's throwing this biggest of all big parties is surprised that no one wants to come. That the banquet hall, if you like, is going to be all but empty. Now in the story, the king, or God if you'd like to play it that way, is excited. I mean, the calf's been fattened and slaughtered, the wine has been decanted, tables are set, there's a fantastic DJ and band. Everything is in place, just like a wedding that we know. And God is the kind of person who cannot wait to get out the invitations. The invitations have to be out to everyone. Everyone has to be reminded as soon as possible and with all due excitement. That's how God is. So all the preparations, everything done to honour the Son. And for God, God is not one who is willing for any person at all to miss the event. So God is, if you like, someone who goes big or goes home. And in this case, God goes big. What the story suggests is that God is always inviting, that every day there is an invitation for us, that every interruption that seems to come to us is also an invitation. But what exactly is this to which we have been invited? What is the invitation? If you want to go through and pick biblical verses, you could say from Matthew, an invitation to service. From John, an invitation to abundant life. From the Psalms, an invitation to worship. Invitation to eternal life. Enjoy the presence of God. Experience rest. Could do with that one. An invitation to pray. Invitation to turn to God in time of need. And so on. So, do you need more? The invitations are almost without end. But who are the people who are invited to the party? I want to tell you a little story that fits in with the Spanish that I'm using, and it comes from Mexico. A priest tells the story of how, on a visit to Mexico, he happened to observe that young families were coming to the cathedral, coming to Mass on a Sunday morning. And as each man approached the doors of the cathedral, he would hand his wife or his girlfriend through the door, and then he would step back and take his place amongst all the other men who were standing outside and light up and have a smoke and a bit of a chat with them. And so all the loved ones were helped through the doors of the cathedral, and all the chaps stood outside chatting and smoking. And they waited there until the Mass was over and the ladies exited from that cool, dark interior out into the sunlight of the plaza. So the priest decided that he had to address the situation. So he walked through the church door into the sunlit plaza. Now, like me, he's a very well-mannered priest. "Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Father. I see that you escort your ladies to Mass, which is very, very commendable. Thank you, Father. And then you wait outside." "That's right, Father." "You don't go into the cathedral yourselves?" "No, not generally, Father." "Well, that's puzzling indeed. Aren't you United Church? I mean, aren't you Catholics?" "Of course we're Catholics, but we're not fanatics." Now, perhaps this is the problem with the people that the king invites to his banquet. They are really part of that larger community, but they don't want to be considered fanatics in terms of their links to the king. And perhaps this is the problem with the story. Who are the people who are invited? Well, if you remember it, I'm sure you do, the invitation goes out to everyone. To not get to the party, one has to reject the invitation. If you're not at the party, it is not because you haven't received an invitation. So for now, everybody who's anybody or somebody gets an invitation. Even if you're not a somebody, but a nobody, you also get an invitation. It's a general invite to all the people of the realm. And what's surprising is, given that some of the invitees reject the invitation, and the king is sort of like saying, "And you've got to be kidding. How can you casually treat this invitation? This is the wedding of my son, the king's son. This is huge. This is massive. This is the wedding of the age. And yet you want to treat the invite with nonchalance and even hostility." And to use that famous set of phrases, seriously, are you stupid or just incredibly stupid? What could be more important than an invitation to this event? And yet, as those who have been sent out to invite others to the wedding, we need to understand that others are not going to welcome us necessarily. What we have as followers of Jesus is the most important invite like ever. And by and large, the people whom we contact are going to yawn. They're going to tell us to go away. They're going to tell us, as we hear so often from our political leaders, they don't want to see us as fanatics. "We don't mind you being Christian. We don't mind you saying you belong to Jesus and pray and go to church on Sunday. But for goodness sake, don't be a fanatic. Don't have issues with asylum seekers. Don't be critical of the economy. Don't criticise us for our slowness in responding to the Ebola situation. For goodness sake, be good, faithful people, but don't be fanatics." The older I get, the more fanatical I become. Some of those who are invited may be those whom the well-off, the well-situated, regard as unworthy. That's the issue with the parable, you see. When the worthy ones don't respond, the king then says, "Go out into the streets and gather all whom you find, both good and bad, so that the wedding hall is full." Go and invite the destitute. Go and invite the asylum seeker. Go and invite, and you fill in your own gap. Invite all of those people to the feast. Those who think they belong and who say they do belong just don't want to. So before we make any judgments, it's important to remember that in terms of the invitation, we are only here by God's grace and mercy. We are included by that grace. God invites us despite our background, and no one is excluded. God invites us without any respect of our level of education, without regard to how financially well situated we might be, without regard to our race, our gender, our sexual orientation, where we've come from, and so on and so on and so on. In Africa, as I said, there is a huge cathedral that stands virtually empty. And you've got to wonder if the construction workers imagined that the great cathedral that they would be building, more than 2,500 of them, when they made this wonderful pearl of the Ivory Coast that took years and years to build at nearly $600 million, that it would be empty. The future that God is building for us, the present that God is building for us, the invitation that God presents to us to come to his banquet, is for us not to treat those things casually, not to use it as an opportunity for indifference or hostility with respect to others, but to see it in terms of us with an RSVP that is able to do it in the most rejoicing of terms. To be able to say, if we had a fifth person sitting out the front this morning, yes, God, I accept your invitation. Party of one, I'm here. Amen.